Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, please. Ooh, what's that mean? And at the same time, you know, all I can do is encourage you to come along and be with us at 10 o'clock. I can't make you do that. I don't want to make you do that. I just want you to do it on your own. I want you to listen to the prophetic words that are spoken, because I'm still amazed and more amazed at how God works. Bridget's gone out to Sunday school this morning. But she doesn't know what I'm preaching on from week to week and what texts I'm going to use and that kind of stuff. I don't sit down and discuss it with her. And then she gets a prompting from the Lord to read a scripture, and I'm going, babe, you're going to give the whole thing away. And so your first scripture, you should have your fingers in Ezekiel chapter 3, and your second finger should be in 2 Peter. And so I'm excited. So can I just take a drink, please? Thank you. I know it's going to be terrible if you say no, because then I'm going to be disobedient to you. So, I'm excited for this morning. We continue with our Metamorphosis part 2. And last week we spoke about from the inside out. And Carmen, I want to see what you're wearing today to see if you're with me. Oh, close. Some coloring in there is good. And so we looked at from the inside out. And the metamorphosis we're talking about is from the inside out. And we looked at from Romans chapter 12, where Paul encourages us. And he says, I appeal to you, my brothers / sisters in Christ Jesus, I appeal to you in the light of His mercies, His great mercies, His good mercies. We know His mercies are good. And I again appeal to you this morning in light of His great mercies to us. And then he goes on and he says that we live our lives as human sacrifices. Our worship to God is reasonable in some texts it says. And that we shouldn't conform. And it's very imperative, clear. Do not conform. Do not put your hand on the hot stove. Yeah, okay, I get that. I understand. Do not leave the door open when it's winter. You'll get cold. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I think it challenged Bridget, and I don't know how far she's got, to do a study on how many times in Scripture the Lord talks about our mind and renewing our mind and our mind being there. And there's so many things in Scripture that we just take for granted and we've read them long. So when we read in Scripture, for argument's sake, your soul, we think spirit. It's not spirit. It's soul. We are a three-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. And we've got to differentiate between what our spirit man is and what our soul is. Spirit man is alive, made alive through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our soul needs some work on it. And we know all things are passed away. All things have become new. He makes me new. He is making me new. Because sometimes our bad habits are die-hard bad habits. And we have to put those things to death that our soul is repaired and made new. Well, how do we do that? I'm so glad you asked. But before that, people are afraid of change. And why? Because we are afraid of failure. I know how to do this. I know what I'm doing. I know where my percentage of my level of my sustaining, where I can sustain. But when you put a little bit of pressure on me, I freak out a bit. Normal colloquialism. I freak out and I can't deal with it. So I'm like all in a mess now and I'm in a quandary. Why? Because change is coming and I don't like change. Because I'm afraid that if I step into another realm, I might fail. And sometimes people learn quickly and we change and we adapt quickly. Other people got to get to the place of, I'm so sick and tired of being depressed. I'm so sick and tired of being down. I'm so sick and tired. And you need to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, metamorphosis. Renewal of my mind. And I know I'm going to jumble up my notes again, but the point is that if you continue to do what you've always done, you will get what you've always gotten. The musos could make that into a song there. Okay. If you've been doing something in this certain way and you hit the little bumbles and the stumbles and the brick walls in life, bang, 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 and you say, I've been doing it this way for 10 years and nothing changes. Stop doing it that way. Try something different. Pray differently. Think differently. Do something differently. Whew. Okay. I'm going there. So I want to tell you a story about a guy who got saved. And he could not understand how all these spiritual people said, well, God speaks to me. And so he was in a class doing a basic Bible's foundation class. And he was like, all these spiritual, well, I just opened the Word and the Lord spoke to me. And I went and I prayed and the Lord spoke to me. And I was speaking to someone else and He used someone else to speak to me. And I'm going, phooey. Oh no, this person is going, phooey. I gave it all away. That is a lot of bunk. How can God speak to us? So my teacher at the time was saying, no, this is God speaks to you through the Word. What? And I said, no, He doesn't. I said, I'll prove it to you He doesn't. Hey, look, let's just test this thing. So I picked up my Bible and I held it together, because now I've told you that I've given away this the punchline. And I opened the Bible at a place and I let it flop open. And I read this. And He said to me, Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I'm giving you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 2. It was the first verse my eyes alighted on. And I'll be honest with you, to this, when I did that, the first time I got halfway through the scripture and I couldn't read anymore, and I just looked at it, and I looked at him, and I looked at it, and I looked at him, and he said, finish reading it. So I stumbled over it, and he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. This is life. I just want to encourage you, read your Bible, pray every day. It will make you grow, grow, grow. So this morning, I want to preach about honey in my belly, the Word of God. Because if we want to metamorphosis or metamorphose or metamorphi or metamorpho, whatever you want to say, we cannot do it without the Word of God. Because when we don't understand the Word of God or know the Word of God, we can never know the author. Well, that's such a strong word, Mark. Well, how do you get to know the guy who wrote the book if you don't spend time in the book that he wrote? This is an encouraging word for you today. Peace is not an absence of strife. Well, I'm under so much pressure, I'm under strife. Peace is not the absence of strife. It is what is peace is the understanding of the knowledge of God. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Bridgie nearly stole the whole thing show this morning. Last week we said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How are you? How do you thinketh in your heart? And we have to understand the Hebrew understanding of the heart and the mind are together in one, and out of the wellspring, out of that and out of this, is who you are in Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to read as much as she did, but verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all. I mean, the songs that were chosen again. I hope you get some of this stuff. Because I sometimes feel like, and I know I'm not, so I'm not anything special. Sometimes I feel like I'm on my little island out here thinking, wow, because I like to connect the dots. And I'm connecting this word, and I'm connecting this song, and I'm connecting this phrase. I'm saying, God, I know I'm on track. God, we know we're going where you're going. Because we all come together and we have a hath a meeting. Some hath a song. Some hath a word. Some hath a knowledge, etc., etc., which is all very scriptural. And if you have the word and don't deliver it, you're in disobedience to God. Come on, stay with me. Thank you. 2 Peter 1, 2. Where did I? Did I finish it? Read it. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I haven't got time for... No, the Bible says you got time. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. We all want peace. I'm not talking about a little thing. I'm talking about the true meaning of peace. Shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Peace in perfection. And we want, what else do we want? We want grace. And I'm not talking about just, we've done a whole series on grace, so you hope you got a better understanding. We want the fullness of His righteousness. God doesn't dispense piecemeal and bit by bit. He gives us the whole package deal. What an amazing Father. That would be like, if He wasn't like that, it'd be like taking your kids, and what's the big thing now with kids is, what are these PSPs? GPS? I don't know. What's it? DSDs. It would be like giving the kids the DSD and throwing the batteries away. What kind of father are you? No, you were naughty today. I'm taking back one battery. No. Yeah, no, this is where we get misquoted. The pastor said, if your child's naughty, take away his batteries from his DSDs. His divine power through the knowledge of Him, His peace, His grace, all through the knowledge of the power of God. It is not la la land. It is not, doesn't happen like osmosis. I'll just call unto God and everything will be great. Well, in some areas it might, but if you don't understand this, when the enemy comes and when the thoughts pervade your renewal of your mind, you go like a cow in a thunderstorm caught to the gate. Someone going to open this gate for me. But if we know the word, we got to say, it is written. We're going to get there just now. His divine peace, it's from an internal thing to the outward, to the external. And when the internal behaves itself, the external will reveal that. Thank you, Chris. Ephesians 6, we understand we don't fight against flesh and blood. It's the spirit behind it that causes us to actually say and react and do instead of responding. Faith is seeing things through God's perspective, not ours. The enemy doesn't just want to get inside your head. Trust me on this, please. He gets in other people's heads and says stuff about you that they think, what a mean person that is. And that's not true. Because we're not mean. We're godly children. We just allow the enemy and confuse our brain and our voices in us. So the question is, what do you know about God's word, God's will, and God's ways? I'm so glad you asked, Mark. Remember who we are in Christ Jesus, our position, where we are seated. We should not react. Sometimes it's just best to think. first. Count to 10. In 2 Kings, there's a story about the enemy coming. And there's these four lepers sitting, and there's a famine. And the city's bound up, and the four lepers are sitting outside, and they sit there and they go, "We've always done this. We always stay here and do this. Well, we're going to die." So one guy says, "No, let's go and do something different. Let's take some faith. Let's go and do something different." And so they go, and they go into the I think it was the Syrian army, and they go and they're going to sit at the gate there, and they notice, "Oh, hold on, there's nobody here. Everybody's run away, because the Lord came and caused creation, commotion, and they all ran away." And what happened then was that the lepers went and said, "Hey guys, there's food and there's stuff over here." And the guys came in. And because they did something different in faith, the lepers, the least of everybody, they saved the whole city. Think about the law of insanity is what I've said it. If you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. All of this to say, we need the knowledge of God. We need His Word to help us along the way. And He said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly from the scroll that I'm giving you." And I took it and ate it. And from that day to this day, I have a love for this book, for the Word of God. And sometimes I just like to take it and hold it against my chest and hold it like this. And now I'm telling you all my weird stuff now. And I smile to myself, because the Word of God is so powerful. And sometimes He'll tell you to do weird stuff. And He told me once in my study when I was praying, I said, "That's weird. I know it's weird, but I did it because I thought God was speaking to me." So I took a Bible and I laid it on the floor, and I took it in the middle and I put it on the feet. And I lay down on top of it with my head, my belly and my feet on the Word of God. And I just lay there, and I lay there for about 2 hours and just prayed. And it wasn't by osmosis the words got in my head and all that kind of stuff. But I felt, I wished it had, would have saved me many hours. But I just felt that I was devouring the Word of God in the spiritual realm. That I was more divinely connected. And sometimes just holding the Word just brings tears to my eyes with joy. Because of the goodness and the love in this book. So the question, of course, you're all asking me now, "Well, Mark, how do we morph?" Well, we need to know the Word of God. I don't know about you, but when I was young and in the church, we used to carry a... I know, this is the right... You've got to have it at the right angle, because then it means more. I'm just joking. And our pastor would say, "Did you bring the sword to Sunday school today?" "I've got the sword." "Or put your sword up." And then we had to do Bible drill. "Put your Bible on your head." And then Job 4:23. Back on your head, because now you got it. Bible drill. And we did that in Sunday school. We did it in youth. In youth. Go home and learn Isaiah chapter 42. Come back to Friday night. And some of you, "Oh, that's boring." I've got the Word of God into us. And then we stood and quoted Isaiah 42. From King James. Nochal. Meaning as well. His Word in us will change us. It'll metamorphosize us. The Word of God will give you power over every situation you have. It'll empower you from your humanistic being to asking, "Am I a victor or a victim?" I just like being a victim, because it's just, so I'm just going to carry on doing what I've always done. When Jesus was taken into the desert, full of the Spirit, driven, I think some of this King James might say, when He was driven, others say taken, whatever, He went into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when the devil came and said to Him, what did He say? "It is written." "Well, I'll make you this and I'll do this for you." "It is written." He didn't get all clever, "Sunday, Monday, many another day, but Monday." He just, "It is written." I just can't get over this issue. This thing is holding me back. It is written. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm not a victim. I'm the victor. I'm a conqueror. This issue is not going to get me down. Know the Word of God. I feel so oppressed. I can't breathe. There's this thing on my chest. I can't get out of bed. Psalm 99. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Father, I'm in times of trouble. Bridget's not here this morning, but she's told you many times. She was oppressed. This demonic thing was oppressing her. She couldn't breathe. She opened her eyes. The Lord opened her spiritual eyes. She saw the demon. She called out Jesus' name. This thing left. Never ever to return again. I'm so shy and timid. You don't understand. I'm just, no. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. That's the spirit that's living in me. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I'm more than a conqueror. I don't have fear. I have power and love and self-control. Don't do this to me today. What is going on? Kenneth. Oh, now the whole thing's disappeared. Great. See, he doesn't want, Lord, sometimes, I'm afraid. Oh, people make me afraid. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I have too many cares and issues and problems and blah, 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 blah. I'm not mocking at these things. I know we all, trust me, when I say we all, that means me too. We all have cares. We all have times when I can't sleep at night because of stuff. And we have to go to the Lord. Quote, know His Word. Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Are you the righteous? Will He let you fall? Why? He's our Father in heaven who loves us. I feel depressed. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. The best thing to do, go to the Word and put a CD on and praise and worship His name. It'll lift, it'll take away that cloud, it'll take away that oppression. I've been in places where I feel the darkness coming on. In the spiritual, I feel the darkness coming. And I either get to go, yes, I accept it, or no, I reject it. And I know it happens to you too. But when we know the Word of God, and we know that to praise His name, and to worship Him, and to lift up His name, that's why we sing in church. We praise. Sometimes I don't feel like we're where we're supposed to be. And so I stand in the front and I praise. And I pray in tongues and I praise His name and I worship Him. And when I feel the release, then I know I'm getting ready to get up and preach. I'm just being real with you this morning. So don't you come here and float on cloud nine. No. What I did feel this morning, I felt like John taken up into the third heaven. Not seventh. Second thing we do, I need to move along. We need to learn to meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:1-8. Don't turn there. But we see in Joshua 1:8, Moses is dead. Joshua, the son of Nun, when Moses used to go to the 10th meeting, and when he was released, Moses used to say, okay, I'm out of here. Joshua, this younger, would stay in the tent. And he would continue in the presence and the atmosphere of God. And when he died, he said, okay, my servant Moses is dead. Yeah, no, he's been my mentor, my tutor, my father, my everything for all these years. Thank you for that piece of information. Take my people into the inheritance, where you go, I've given you. I'm just paraphrasing the scripture. No man can stand against you. I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But be strong and courageous. Oh, I don't know if I can be strong and courageous. No, be strong and courageous. Don't do what you've always done. Be strong and courageous. Learn to say no. Powerful words for a Christian. No. Pay attention to my law or the word. And then it goes on. He says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So, you want me to read it more than once a day? Well, I didn't say anything. This is what this says. You may be careful to do it according to all that is written in it. For then, we have to learn to look for the promise and the condition. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Do you want to be successful? I'm not talking a prosperity gospel here today. Don't confuse me. Do you want to be successful in life? Do you want to be prosperous in life? Do you want to be set up in God, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every situation? Then the Word of God must permeate your way of thinking. It's not an option. Why? Because if it doesn't, you will hit default button again when the pressure comes and you go, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm not too sure what to do, I'm just going to do what the world tells me to do and I'll work that way and then I'm good. And then the consequences come and you go, oh, that wasn't so smart. And we all do it, please. This is not, and including me in this. Just going a little bit from last week, do you know that your brain is wired in a certain way to think? And they tell me that it takes 18 times of repetition to change your way of thinking. So when I first meet Alan, I don't remember his name. And so every time I'm going to say, hey Alan, how are you, Alan? How are you doing, Alan? He says, what's wrong with this guy? Now what I'm doing is I'm retraining my brain to remember that when I see this 6'5" guy that his name's Alan. And we need to learn through the Word of God to realign our brain and the way we think. That's what metanoia is all about. When salvation comes, turn away, go in a different thing, think differently. You can't say, oh Lord Jesus just saved me and I think I'm saved now, and then go and behave and continue just how you were. Because then all you do is you just said something out of your mouth. There was nothing in your heart and no mental assent to what you just said. Well, if you prayed the prayer, then surely you're saved. No. But I did pray the prayer, yeah. Like I said last week, you don't have to see what you plant, what seeds you put in the ground. All we got to do is wait for the fruit to come. And they will know we are Christians by our love, and we should produce fruit. More fruit, better fruit, good fruit, great fruit. Let's just move on. So much more to say there, but how else do we morph? By listening and obeying His spoken word. Word. Oh well, that means it's a double truth. Got nothing to do with me. Jeremiah 14. Behold, I'm making my words in your mouth a fire. Can you imagine if we had the word of God and say every time we were tempted? Oh, here's a good one. Just say no. If we didn't understand something, just say it is written. I think if it's good enough for Jesus, it's got to be good enough for us. Well, you know, the society we live in now, they say. No, what's God's word say? That's where we start. Yeah, we submit to the government and authorities, like speed is 100 kilometers an hour, it's not 120. Just saying. choose another example, Chris says. I like that one. Because we're willing to break that one, and then on other issues, no, we have to obey the government. You don't obey the government on this one, so what's it to you? What? How can you? Proverbs 4:22. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I don't think there's anything in there. Well, you know, we have to look for the hidden meaning. No, I just gave you the hidden meaning. Turn away from evil. Have the word in your mouth. Jeremiah says, be a fire in your belly. That when you say, it is written, they will go, and when you quote the scripture, they'll go, yes, I see the truth. But God doesn't speak to me. Well, I told you, number one, how God can speak to us through the word. Secondly, in an audible voice. I have had the privilege of God speaking to me in an audible voice. I didn't like what he said, simply because I didn't understand it. But I saw in time, it came to fruition. I was driving in my car going to work, and he said to me, one day you will be an elder. I know God speaks like this, you know. One day, my boy, you will be an elder in this church. Not this church, Highway Christian Community. I was like, I won't be an elder. I won't be a pastor. Because I didn't understand at the time that an elder and a pastor were the same thing. I thought they were different, because where I came from, elders were these guys who locked the church up and told everyone what to do, and the pastor was the cool dude. Yeah, thank you. In a meeting, I was standing in a meeting, we were worshiping, just like we were this morning. And I want to encourage you, press in to God. Don't think that He's just going to come and press all over you and you'll get the goosebumps and the happy feelings. Press into God. Press into the worship. Learn the songs and close your eyes so you don't get distracted by those around you. Press into God. I was pressing into God, and He came and He put a coat on me. And it was a weird looking coat, so I knew it was not my idea. And I heard, and I was a new Christian then, and I heard him quote a scripture over me. And he quoted the scripture over me, which was Isaiah 61. And there was a lady, a prophetic lady, ministering there that morning. And I went home and I said to Bridget, what is this thing about the sovereign Lord? I've anointed you to preach the gospel and the sovereign Lord thing. She said, oh, that's Isaiah 61. I said, what? I went and thought. I said, that's exactly what the Lord said to me. I felt like there was someone saying, well, didn't Anne say it? Her name was Anne. So we went and we checked up and listened to the tape again. She never mentioned the word. But after the meeting, she came to me and she said to me, so you've been trying your new clothes on today. And I got scared. But in the meeting, I got very scared. And I started to weep. Not in South Africa would say, he actually started to chunk. It's an Afrikaans word for when a dog barks loudly and noisily. And I was chunking. And of course the spiritual people, with no discernment, said, oh, he's being attacked by a demon. Oh, we need to lay hands and pray for him. Of course the guy with some sense said, came up and said, Mark, what's happening? I said, I don't know. He says, but I'm afraid. He says, what are you afraid of? I said, I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint God. Oh, what else? She says, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. See, I'm normal. What else? I said, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to carry the mantle that he's putting on me. I said, okay. Walked away and left me. Come back! Help me! You stop praying for me. Take your hands off me. Bridget, tell them to go away. I'm having this experience with God, and Come out of the name of Jesus. No, don't stay. Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's best just to leave people alone when God is working with them. You're going to come in there and lay your hands on them and, oh, I'm going to pray for them. No, just leave them alone. You think God needs your help? I know. I'm killing some sacred cows here this morning. What else? Well, I told you about how me, the chief skeptic, just said, I don't think this works. Open the Bible, bang. Listen and obey His spoken word to you. Hear what God is saying. To that end, we also have to remember and understand that there are a number of words coming into your head, and they're not, only one of them is God. The other five are not God. We have to learn to discern which one is God. The shepherd, we know the shepherd's voice and we follow. And the more you listen to God's voice and it lines up with the scripture and it lines up with the word, you go, oh, that's God's voice. Oh, that one's not God. And we learn to tune those out, drown those voices out, and pay attention to this voice. The one that is more important to us. Oh, okay, let's try and... God's word connects us to His heart. We get to understand who our Father in heaven is. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. We need to learn to understand. Go and read Psalm 119. It's all about listening and understanding God's word, paying attention to His word. If you want to walk with the wise, if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. If you want to understand wisdom, there's 20. How many chapters in Proverbs? 28, 29. 30, because there's 31 days. Take a chapter a day and read a chapter of Proverbs a day if you want wisdom. It'll give you wisdom. And just so that's like you can read the book of Proverbs 12 times a year. Woo, that one. Joshua 24:20, he said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. Put away those things that are distracting you. Put away those things that are baying for your attention. God's word metamorphoses us from the inside out. Turn with me to Psalm 19. This is going to be the last one. 10 minutes and we'll be done. Psalm 19. There we go. That's a nice sound. If you don't have your sword with you, you can't fight the battle. So, Psalm 19, the first six scriptures talks about creation and God and creation and how He made creation. We're going to look at 7 till 9. Now, when we read about, and then your version might be different, but when you read about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the rules of the Lord, it's all talking about God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, and in that word is, in the Hebrew, is shuv. S-H-U-W said shuv. And what that word means is to take you back again, to return to renew again. In some versions it says restores the soul or restoring the soul. depending what you're reading. Many people, remember soul and spirit, many people have been battered and bruised through life. They've endured tragedy. Your soul has been damaged. You've had chaotic, you've had trauma, you've had stuff, you've seen things happen that you were just an innocent bystander, saw someone run over and killed in front of you. It's traumatic to your soul. It's traumatic to who you are. It's traumatic to what you've just witnessed. And then you go away and you have nightmares and you dream stuff and you can't get this right and you just, well, this is my lot in life. I'm just going to have to do it. I was abused as a child. This is my lot in life. I'm just going to have to live with it. You were abused as a husband or a wife or are being abused. Well, this is just my lot in life. I'm just going to have to live with it. You have been treated badly in work. Well, this is just my lot. I'm just going to have to live with it. Pick a circumstance. In the natural realm, without God, that is probably true. And then we go and spend thousands and thousands of dollars at psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors and everything else, and they give us pills and we take the pills and everything like that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doctors, etc., etc., because certain cases of depression, they need medicine. But with God and His supernatural realm, you do not have to live your life like that. Well, I've just, for 10 years, I've had this, and 20 years, and 30 years, and 40 years. And you don't have to live your life like that. It's because you've just got to the place where you're sort of sick and tired, but you're not sick and tired of being sick and tired, but you're just living there. I'm just putting this out. The world will tell you you're just a byproduct of your environment. Just get on with it. If you have been verbally, sexually, or physically abused, it will damage you and could well influence the way you live your life, especially from a young age. But you don't have to carry it. God's word is not there to make you feel good about yourself. God's word is there to revive, to restore your soul. The perfect, perfected will of God is to restore your soul. Psalm, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving your soul. 7b, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I don't understand, I don't know why I made this decision, I don't know how to do it. I do realize it was a stupid decision, it was a bad decision. If we get the word of God in us, it'll make the simple things wise to us. When we make a bad or foolish decision, there is a consequence to it. We all know that. We live by those consequences. Comes with lost jobs, broken relationships, broken this, broken that, broken thing. It's not, I mean, don't shoot me for this one. That song, Hallelujah. It's a beautiful song. No, then listen to the words. It's about a broken love. It's not about a great love. Hallelujah, a broken love. What? Talks about David and Bathsheba and Samson and Delilah. And we all just, and it is, it's a beautiful tune. It has a beautiful tune. I mean, it's amazing. If Leonard Cohen had just written the words a little bit nicer, it would have been cool. But we just go Radio Gaga and we go, oh, it's beautiful, without listening. Maybe some have listened and agree with me, or maybe you listen and still disagree. That's okay. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When God's word is perfect, the perfected will, the perfected way, God's word, it will rejoice my heart. That's when we get true joy, when we get true peace, true understanding of the word of God. So when we have honey in my belly, we eat the scroll. If you don't have love, peace, joy, which the Bible says we should have, it's not because of your circumstances. And if you carry around ashes for mourning instead of the oil of gladness and joy, it's because there's a vacuum inside that is seeking to be filled. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It will enlighten your eyes. It will open your eyes. It will give you clear vision. when you understand and see the Word of God and you'll go, how come I never saw it before? It's like the friend I told you about a couple of weeks ago. Been teaching him this thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. 6 months. Mark, you will not believe what I read in the Bible this morning. What did you read? See, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I have to believe that he was blinded. His eyes were closed. Because I know I'm speaking clearly. I know I'm teaching it well. All the other guys in the room were going, yeah, and we're putting that thing first in our lives. And he's like, and then one day he gets the revelation. And you know what the good news about when you get the revelation, you will remember it far greater than when you get it secondhand from me. And he never forgot that. And he was like, Mark, I'm putting God first in everything now. And so on and so on. For years after, up until then, it was all about him and his house and his boat and his jet skis and everything else. We need a revelation. It'll bring brightness to our world. The mist will clear and we'll go, wow, I never saw that before. And then we rejoice with you. Of course, I could have said, as I said to you before, dude, where were you when I was teaching? I could have got all sarky with him. I could have got all smart. I could have got all pious. Don't you listen to what I teach? I said, wow, mate, that's wonderful, man. I encouraged him. I affirmed him. One little touchdown, one little yard at a time. He was taking ground for the King and the Kingdom. Where were you? God's Word is pure. It enlightens our eyes. Sorry. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. It just happens to be sweeter also than honey and dripping off the honeycomb. So, question, how would you treat God's Word if that became the preeminent thing in your life? To understand God's Word. To know God's Word. That this is better than any amount of bank account. This is better than any amount of your favorite food. This is better than any amount of gold that you might be offered. Oh yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. South African embarrassment in Canada. Anyway, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Where's Andrea? She's in Sunday school. Chris, can you do the keys, please? Keyboard. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. I just felt for this morning, if your soul in any way needs to be restored or revived, we want to pray for you. And we don't do this often, but I really felt to do it today. If anything in this word touched you and you want some prayer, why don't you come up front this morning? Just as Chris plays. Don't be afraid. Just come up. If you've ever been abused and you felt your soul's not revived and restored in that area, if you feel that you've been mistreated and you need your soul to be restored, why don't you come up this morning? Feel your soul has been damaged in any way. I mean, you've heard me preach this morning. You've heard what I've said. This is not to make me feel good. This is for you. This is for the Lord to touch your heart. This is for the Lord to revive your soul, to restore your soul. Doesn't mean you, well, I'm backslidden now, I'm not saved. I'm just saying, do you feel in your heart there's some hurt? Or some damage that you need restored. God, you are good. You're a good and perfect God. I just want to read that over here, the folk that are up front here. I'm just going to change some of it. The word of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Lord, as I read this word over these precious people, Lord God, won't you come and minister to them and touch them? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Father, we pray for joy in the heart of these people. Will you bring wisdom, Lord God? Will you restore and revive their souls, Lord? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Father, won't you give them new vision? Won't you open their eyes to the things that you have for them? Deeper revelation of your word, Lord God. A deeper understanding of your word as they read it, Lord God. That they, as they read it, that their eyes would be opened, their eyes would be enlightened to your word. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Thank you, Father, that we would have a holy fear of you, Abba, Father. Even as we sang and praised you this morning, Lord God, let your glory fall. Let your glory come. Your word and your power. Let us walk in an ever-increasing glory realm, Lord God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, are true and righteous altogether. There is nothing but your word, Lord. Only your word. Only you are righteous, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you have given us an imputed righteousness. Thank you, Lord God, that you have sent your Son to pay the price. The blood that shed at Calvary, Lord God, that covers us. We don't have to continually expect another Comforter, you've already sent us the Holy Spirit, Lord. The rules, the laws, the commandments, the testimony, the purity, the sureness, the righteousness, the rejoicing, the enlightenment are all more to be desired than gold, even much more than fine gold. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you for the courage of these brave souls, Lord God. Father, we just pray this morning. If you're sitting in the back there, just lean, put your hand out, stretch out your hand. Lord God, we ask this morning, Lord God, that you would touch the souls of these precious people, Lord. You would restore them to better. That word shuv, Lord God, would turn back. That you would restore and bring together the damage of the soul, Lord God. That you would make whole. As we read in the beginning, that peace, that shalom peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. The grace, the righteousness of God in all its fullness. In all its altogetherness, Lord God. Holy Spirit, you break down upon these people today, Lord. Blessing and honor be theirs, Lord God. Let your glory come in their lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who restores to better. Even as the word came this morning, Lord God, that the potter and the clay, Lord. Father, we ask you would mold us from the inside out. You would take those pieces in our soul that are shattered and broken. And Father, you would make them new. You would mold them afresh. You would take the oil of joy, the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, and you would refashion that soulish part, Lord God. Restore it to better, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to walk with our baggage for 10, 20, 30 years. But through your Son Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would restore us to better. You would take away the ache and the pain. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We would no longer be victims, but we would be victors. We would study your word. We would meditate on it. It would be like sweet honey in our mouth, Lord God, as we eat and chew and meditate upon your word. It would give us strength and power, understanding in the Holy Ghost. Amen.